You've already heard the worldview of ABC News, the ACLU, and the National Education Association. Now, tune in for the other worldview. This is Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five, raising my children in the nuclear age. And by the way, so's Dave. Dave's in studio with me. Just a few dads wanted to hang on to our families, our faith, our freedom in the 21st century. And things have changed dramatically in the last 100 years. We're just trying to bring a biblical worldview to bear on these issues, friends. As we read the newspapers, we want to know how the Word of God applies to these things and how we as fathers ought to lay out a way of life for our families. Which means you got to take the trends, the issues of the day off the newspaper and bring a biblical anthropology, a biblical theory of man, a biblical theory of metaphysics or reality, a biblical theory of ethics to bear on these issues. And, you know, you're going to get the other worldview from just about every other radio program out there. But we're going to take a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. Now, in North Korea, North Koreans are testing the bomb. And apparently they successfully lighted off a 10-kiloton to a 20-kiloton nuclear bomb. And the data suggests the detonation was roughly the size of the Fat Man. And Dave, I'm sure you remember the Fat Man.
Charlie Daniels, yeah, he was great.
No, came down from Georgia, all that?
No.
This was the bomb dropped on Nagasaki in 1945.
Oh, I wasn't around then.
Yeah, well, back then it was a devastating bomb, and it woke America up and the world up to the nuclear age. Experts said North Korea may want to miniaturize the bomb and mount it on a ballistic missile that can hit Seoul, Tokyo, or even North America. Or they may want to deliver it guerrilla style on a fishing boat or a speedboat. Well, that's what's happening in North Korea. And, Dave, I would not put it past the North Koreans to do something like that. They don't like South Korea very much. And they might just want to, you know, toss a bomb on Seoul.
Why would they want to do that? What has Seoul ever done to them? Just because they have five times the standard of living of North Korea, just because they have much more liberty, just because there's so much more prosperity, why would they want to destroy them? That's envy. That's just envy.
And, Dave, man is evil. That's the answer. Again, a biblical anthropology here, Dave. I told you I was going to bring a biblical anthropology to bear. Man is evil. North Korea is evil. And by the way, so is Iran. But Newsweek magazine disagrees with me on this one. A big ol' spread. I mean, this would have been a 30-page spread from Newsweek magazine last week on Iran. And you have guys like Fareed Zakariyyeh, who says everything you know about Iran is wrong. Take the bomb. Well, over the last 5 years, senior Iranian officials at every level have repeatedly asserted that they do not intend to build nuclear weapons. They've promised us. They're good people. They would never develop the bomb. You can trust the Muslims. Okay, this is Newsweek magazine, my friends. You can trust the Muslims. You can trust the Muslims. Dave, they're not supposed to tell the truth to the kafirs. That's you.
Oh.
You're a kafir.
A kafir?
You're a kafir, Dave.
I think you can trust the Muslims about as much as you can trust Newsweek.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize that they were so sympathetic to the Muslims, but I didn't even mention the fact that Iranians are out there killing Christians right and left, and they still want to wipe out Israel. In fact, their president, whatever his name is.
Ahmadinejad.
He doesn't believe that the Holocaust existed.
And there are no homosexuals in his nation either.
Yeah. And Newsweek magazine, really excited about what's happening in Iran.
I don't see how Newsweek could be. Newsweek loves the homosexual. They're pro-homo marriage. They're pro-homo rights. And here is this country that has, I guess, wiped out and destroyed all the homos. So why would they like Iran?
Well, apparently Newsweek magazine is anti-Semitic as well, because Iran has never really been a friend of Israel. But you got a really pro-Iranian piece in the last Newsweek magazine. Meanwhile, Iran is out there building nuclear devices of some sort. They've definitely got lots and lots of uranium at this point. Remember April 11th, 2006, they had their first 100 centrifuges. Well, now, as of April 9th, 2009, the country claims to be operating 7,000 centrifuges, and a new, more advanced type of nuclear fuel has been tested. Iranian scientists, per CNN, Iranian scientists have reached nuclear weapons breakout capability. That's per a new report based on findings of the UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency. By the way, this was not referred to in Newsweek magazine, because Newsweek magazine says, well, over the last 5 years, senior Iranian officials at every level have repeatedly asserted that they do not intend to build nuclear weapons. Okay, so who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust?
Well, I suggest you don't trust liars. You know, the Muslim world will either claim to have something they don't, i.e. weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, or they'll maybe claim not to have something that they do have. But you can't trust them either way. Ronald Reagan was famous for saying, trust but verify.
Yeah. Yeah, who was it who said, walk softly but carry a big stick?
That would be Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt, right. And that was because they had a basically biblical way of looking at things. Remember the Gods of the Copybook Headings, a poem written by Rudyard Kipling towards the end of the British Empire, and this guy still had a biblical way of thinking about things because they assumed that man had a depravity issue. Now the gods of the marketplace have come in, and over the last 150 years, we have been sold a bill of goods that man can be trusted. And the end result of that, of course, has been some of the largest holocausts the world has ever seen. Hundreds of millions of people slaughtered with the assumption that man is good and he is perfectible. Now, that basically Marxist way of looking at things, that humanist way of looking at things, has been the catalyst for the destruction of hundreds and hundreds of millions of people. But Rudyard Kipling said, hey, the gods of the copybook headings are the old proverbs, the old truths that were on children's copybooks back in the 1800s, and they would be the Bible verses, which, of course, were really outdated by the time you hit the turn of the 20th century. But he wrote this great poem called The Gods of the Copybook Headings. He's got this great little line. Let me read it to you. This is one of the verses. When the Cambrian measures were forming, they promised perpetual peace. This is the gods of the marketplace. Promised perpetual peace. They swore if we gave them our weapons, that the wars of the tribes would cease. Disarmament. But when we disarmed, they sold us and delivered us bound to our foes. And the gods of the copybook headings said, stick to the devil, you know. That is, again, the gods of the copybook headings asserted the essential depravity of man. Man is totally depraved. Now, okay, I know that the vast majority of Americans disagree with me on this point. Not to exclude most evangelicals. But the Bible is right with me here. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says the Word. Let me read Romans 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All except for Karl Marx and John Maynard Keynes. No. There's none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Their tongues, their deceit. And includes Newsweek and Iran, by the way. The poison of asps under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. There it is, Dave. That's a biblical anthropology. And, you know, I know a lot of people disagree with that. Okay, so who are you going to trust? You're going to trust the Bible? You're going to trust Newsweek magazine? You're going to trust the people who say, hey, you can trust man? Hey, you know, you can trust man. I know he holds the finger over the button of 10,000 nuclear warheads. I know that he has been empowered with more centralized power than ever before in the history of the world. I realize that man has way, 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 way more nuclear capability and destructive capability than has ever had, even under Genghis Khan and all the other horrible megalomaniacs from generations past. But you know what? Things have changed. Dave, that's what people think. Things have changed. You can trust them now. You can trust Iran. You can trust North Korea. You can trust America. You can trust Russia. You can trust China. You can trust Pakistan. Oh, Pakistan. Did I mention Pakistan? This is May 28th, Washington Post. They've got 60 nuclear warheads. And they're producing large amounts of plutonium, which will include, over the next few years, warheads for ballistic missiles, cruise missiles capable of being launched from ships, submarines, and aircraft. That's as of May 28th, Washington Post. And Pakistan is not the most stable country in the world.
No. No. It's the current home of the Taliban.
Yeah. Yeah. And seems to me they have regular revolutions where hundreds of people are getting killed in these riots and things.
Well, that's just called a celebration when hundreds of people get killed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just a celebration. But yeah. There are warring factions in Pakistan among the Muslims. The Muslims like war so much they will fight each other. That used to be our strategy. We'd keep Iran and Iraq fighting each other so they weren't fighting us. And then, well, I don't know, somebody declared peace. And so, you know, 9/11 happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, what do? We're just a couple of dads in studio trying to raise our children in a period of a tremendous risk, danger, because we don't trust mankind. So what do? Trust but verify. Walk softly, carry a really big stick. We're going to talk about biblical solutions to the problems before us in just a moment. Stay with me. Folks, with this radio program, we're bringing relationships and truth back to a lost and lonely world. That's why we advocate homeschooling, mentorship, family-based economics, and a biblical worldview, all as part of our homeschool ministry based in Colorado. For homeschooling seminars, curriculum, and encouragement, visit our website at chec.org. That's check.org on the web. For apprenticeship, mentorship, and entrepreneurship training for your children and your family, you need to hook up with our AME program at ameprogram.com. That's ameprogram.com. You know, the Generations Radio program is a ministry of generations with vision, where we work hard to cast a vision for the next generation through each and every radio broadcast. Tune in online at generationsradio.org for the daily show, the blog, and the online store. That's generationsradio.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Today, talking about the nuclear proliferation around the world. What, 28 countries around the world have one bomb's worth of radioactive material. 12 countries have 20 bombs worth of it. Now, the point I'm trying to drive home on this program is you've got to apply the right worldview to the interpretation of these facts. How do you look at these facts? You've got to take a biblical perspective on these facts. And the biblical perspective is their feet are quick to shed blood. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Their hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Dave, this is a basic biblical anthropology, a basic biblical view of man. And every single family listening to us right now need to read these stories in light of that anthropology.
And I think that's why we have so many bombs. A, you have some bad guys with bombs. And B, people who don't want to get blown up by the bad guys say, if you blow me up, I will blow you up. Assured mutual destruction. It's the doctrine which was dominant in this country for many years. And two, you have to understand, you got to live in this world hanging on to life not too tightly. I think of John G. Payton, the missionary to the New Hebrides Islands. He did most of his work with guns and arrows and all kinds of things pointed right at his head. And yet he had the trust in the God that was. So, men are depraved. Let's get over it.
And, Dave, let's take a look at the biblical ethics in relation to WMDs, because, again, we're trying to apply a biblical worldview to this. We looked at a biblical anthropology. Now let's take a biblical ethical perspective to the weapons of mass destruction. And you got to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Now, there was one exception to this rule when God had the people of Israel take down an entire section of the world, that is Canaan, and they took over the land of Canaan. But here are the principles that God says exist now until the end of time in relation to biblical warfare. He says in Deuteronomy 20, is when you go into battle against your enemies, and you see their horses, chariots, and a people more than you, be not afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When you come unto the city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. In other words, try to establish peace with the city, if you can. Now, they don't want peace, it says, then you're going to make war with them. And it says, when the Lord your God shall deliver the city into your hands, you shall smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. But the women, the little ones, the cattle, all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, you shall take unto yourself. In other words, don't kill the little ones or the women. And when you shall besiege a city a long time and make you war against it, then you shall not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, etc., etc., for you may eat of them. So, Dave, this is not assured mutual destruction. This is not weapons of mass destruction. God says, you're going to go to war, you kill the fighting men. You kill the fighting men. You don't kill the women and children, and you don't bring a scorched earth policy, which, by the way, started with Sherman during the Civil War. Prior to that, you didn't have the scorched earth policies. But in the modern form of warfare, you got the scorched earth policy, which began with this Sherman fella, who was, I believe, one of the most ungodly men in all of American history. And he certainly was with the Indians as well. He's the guy who came up with the phrase, the only good Indian's a dead Indian. He was a godless man, a horrific godless man. And unfortunately, they're still naming streets after him in Denver. But anyway, the whole idea of weapons of mass destruction began with guys like General Sherman. And we as Christians ought to reject this perspective in warfare. No, we don't engage in weapons of mass destruction. We don't wipe out all the trees and all the animals and all the women and children. Doesn't happen. We go to war and we fight the warring men, but we're not going to fight and kill the women and children.
Yeah, Sherman actually resurrected something that was used in the ancient world by the Assyrians. The Assyrians would take over land and they would salt. That is, they'd put salt on the dirt over their fields so their crops could not recover. See, a salted earth won't grow anything. And so they would do that so people would not want to return to their homeland, and they would know that they were totally defeated and overcome by the Assyrian Empire. Now, the Assyrian Empire was a very wicked empire. They were very, very wicked. They would do all the horrific things that you can imagine.
Skin people alive.
Skin people alive and place heads and hands and pikes in front of the gates of the city and so forth to intimidate people. This is not the way the Christian behaves. This is not what the Christian does. Now, why did God say go ahead and kill the warring men? Is because that way they wouldn't war against you. You wipe out the weapons.
Right.
But it's a very targeted attack.
Yeah. So what do Christians do? Well, I think our primary approach to these issues is a defensive approach. Therefore, Dave, I think we want to continue to pursue the development of things like laser technology, where you can take these missiles out of the air before the missiles come and destroy your people. You've got to protect your people. Moreover, let me say that civilian defensive structures are essential in the modern age of warfare. And unfortunately, our government has put way more money. I mean, we're talking trillions of dollars of money into the development of weapons of mass destruction and hardly a dime into developing civilian defensive structures, that is, bomb shelters and things, that could protect their civilians. Moreover, what you get in the modern world is a continual rush towards centralizing power and centralizing population densities, which is one of the craziest, stupidest things that people can do in the modern world, because the more you centralize population densities, the more you open up your populations to mutual assured destruction. So, Dave, we've got the wrong worldview working in our social systems today.
So if a Demijohn were to launch a nuclear attack and he were to attack a cornfield of Kansas.
Well, let's just say Elbert, Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah, where we are. You know what they would do? Between me and Elbert, they'd knock out about four houses, a couple of llamas, and about 18 cows.
Wouldn't have the same impact of, say, hitting Los Angeles.
No, it wouldn't. No. On the four-mile radius, and by the way, the 20 kiloton bomb is going to give you probably close to a 2 to 3 mile radius on it. Your average 1 megaton would go as far as 5 or 6 miles on the radius in terms of destroying the structures and probably destroying life. But you know, it wouldn't happen here. No one would want to drop a bomb on Elbert because it would not be worthwhile. You might as well use guns. You use a more targeted form of destruction. But see, the weapons of mass destruction were made for the modern age of centralized power and centralized population densities where large cities were constructed.
If Elbert were nuked, and I live outside of that radius by a safe distance, what we would say is, oh, well, they didn't have gas there anyway. And the county would say, well, that's one less dirt road that we have to grade.
Yeah. and the gas station just went out of business about 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, you're right. We have no gas down here, so don't even bother coming through here for your gas. Well, ladies and gentlemen, talking about a worldview, an ethical perspective of things, Christians, what are they going to be doing? Well, Christians don't want to centralize power. That's not what we do. We protect our own. We will build defensive structures for our children if we were Christians in this country. But, of course, there aren't many Christians anymore around here. Now, as fathers, as heads of households, as families concerned to protect our own, Dave, I think we ought to find ways to protect our families. And if there ever was a weapon of mass destruction that might come anywhere near us, I think families ought to have a basic idea of how they would respond to those sorts of things. Now, it may not happen immediately. Now, a lot of people are going to come back and say, oh, now they're getting radical on the program. But, Dave, you know, we're Calvinists here. And when we say Calvinists, we believe in total depravity. This is what George Washington believed. This is what Patrick Henry believed. This is what John Adams believed. They believed that man had a total depravity issue. And you could not trust men, and therefore you would construct your defensive systems such that you would take into account the possibility of bad men invading your country and killing your women and children. And, Dave, this is precisely what Romans 13 instructs the state to do.
Well, and that's why we have three branches of government and a bicameral legislature, figuring that if you didn't centralize the depravity of man in one single branch of government, they could bicker with each other and the people would be left alone and escape the tyranny of the civil magistrate. And that worked up to the point where the press became akin to one party and helped give all three branches of government to a single party. So now power is centralized and we're going to pay for it here. Now, in the Middle Ages, what they did is they built castles.
Yeah.
They were defensive structures, and the people were able to retreat into the castle if the barbarians or the French, the Franks came down, the people would be protected behind the walls. In this day and age, with weapons that come airborne, it's not quite as practical and easy. Just go ahead and build a castle.
Yeah, yeah. There were 10,000 castles in Germany. We read this yesterday in our family devotion time when reading through the history of the world by Rush Dooney. Found out 10,000 castles in Germany during the medieval or the frontier age. And that was, of course, a time when power was very, very much decentralized. Now, the Holy Roman Empire tried to control that area of Germany and northern France, but they had a really hard time doing it because they had all these fiefdoms where you had power pressed down into the local communities. And I believe a much safer time than it is today. But, you know, of course, everybody's assuming that man is perfectible. And once man collects total power through the United Nations or through the United States or through some of these large national governments, then there will never, ever be another war. Well, of course, we assume that and have been through some of the most severe wars and some of the most horrific destructions in the history of mankind just in the last 100 years. Dave, I think until we begin to respect this issue of the total depravity of men, we can look forward to even more severe wars in the next 100 years or so.
Here's a picture. You have all these fiefdoms, and they have their castles, and two of them get together, and they create one much bigger castle, and then that becomes attractive to another, and it becomes an even bigger castle. So all these fiefdoms are in one castle. Now the wars have ceased, right? Except for the problem, now the war is inside the walls of the castle, because one tyrant wants to run the whole show.
And because you were able to centralize power, they were able to bring $6, 7, 8 trillion to bear on the development of weapons of mass destruction, and people would use these weapons of mass destruction. Believe me, once the genie is out of the bottle, of course they're going to use them on the large centralized cities. So that's the direction that man is heading, and I can't see anything taking us off course, Dave. But, of course, our responsibility is to teach the Word of God. Ultimately, peace will only come when men establish their peace with God. You're never going to see peace between brother and brother until men have their peace with God. Because, as James chapter 4 says, wars come from within you. Where do wars come from? They come because you want and you have not, because you are power hungry. You want to be God. You want to have control over new territories. Or, for little boys, you want control over that little toy, and your little brother's not going to give you control over that little toy, and so you're going to sock him in the mouth in order to get control of that toy. or that territory. And Davis, this power-hungry attitude that we see in men ultimately comes from the fact that they want to be God, and they do not humble themselves before the God who exists, fear that living God, and then begin to live according to his laws.
James 4 not only describes the problem, but it prescribes the solution. In verse 7, it says, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord." And then what? Then he will lift you up. You see, the hearts of men are wicked and depraved because they do not love their Creator.
And salvation comes by God and not by princes and chariots. So let's not put our trust in princes and chariots and nuclear warheads. Let's put our trust in God, where we're going to find salvation and where we're going to begin to see some peace between brothers and brothers, and maybe even some countries if they eventually are reached by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, ladies and gentlemen, bringing a biblical anthropology, a biblical soteriology, that is a biblical theory of salvation, a biblical ethic to bear on this radio program. You've heard it all on this edition of Generations, and you can pick up this perspective from my book, The Second Mayflower. How are we going to look at the future? How will we prepare our children for the future as things are changing dramatically in the modern age? I address these issues in my book, The Second Mayflower. Blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord. That book is available at my website, kevinswanson.com. Just go to kevinswanson.com and click on store, and you can pick up a copy of my book, The Second Mayflower, today. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. You can interact with the radio program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family. A camp with some great messages that will encourage your family to live and love together the way God has laid out in His Word. Imagine a 5-day camp with some of the best nationally known speakers on the family. A 5-day camp priced from $155. That's $155 for the whole family. We have obtained the use of one of the largest campgrounds in the West for this camp. Scheduled August 21st through the 25th in Glorieta, New Mexico, your family will hear inspiring messages on relationships and loving the family from some of the familiar voices carried on the Generations Radio broadcast. And there will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, tennis, ping pong, paddle boats, and canoeing. We have priced this camp so it will be affordable to the largest families with the lowest income and a tough economy. To register or just check out a little more information on this camp, visit our website, renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock.